Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So we had a time here, an amazing prayer advance, perfect weather, and most of all, good fellowship, prayer, and God's grace in the Lord. Hey, could you grab me a couple more rocks? Gonna need a few more rocks for this day. As we look at Titus, we see that the gospel is for all of life. As we work through the grace of God that has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, we see that that salvation produces good works. So we end the book of Titus with this challenge to do good. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Coming on the heels of the great passage of salvation, that we are saved by grace, that not of yourselves, it's according to His mercy. Now we have a faithful saying. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Very clear admonition here. Those who believe in God, maintain good works. Faith produces good works. So this Titus chapter 3 is very clear. Good works attribute nothing to your salvation. But when you're saved, that salvation produces the good works. So if you had it in a formula, you could put faith plus nothing equals salvation and good works. What legalists want to do is they want to put faith plus good works equals salvation. What the antinomian want to do is they want to put faith plus nothing equals salvation and just drop off the good works. No, it's faith in God. His works save us. Not of ourselves. That's what produces salvation. And salvation always produces good works. John Calvin said, the faith that is alone, the saving faith that is alone, is never alone. And that faith is always coupled with good works. Or, you get it right from Scripture, those who believe in God should be careful to maintain good works. We want to keep good works. How do we keep good works? What does it mean to maintain good works? Well, you have to understand that grace of God. You have to live in the grace of God. You have to remember and reflect upon the grace of God that brings that salvation. And understand that you are crucified with Christ. It's not you who live, but Christ who lives in you. Consider these things. Consider that you died to sin, that your sin was placed on Christ, that you never outgrow this cross. You keep the cross at the center of your life. You keep what Jesus did on the cross as the purpose and the meaning for all your existence, that He died for my sin, that He rose again from the dead. So now I consider myself dead to sin, but alive to God. Repent and believe the gospel, and keep repenting and keep believing in the gospel. As Christ is being formed in you, as you walk through trials, as you go through difficulties, Christ is formed in you. As you have answers to prayer and you have joy in the mountaintop experience, Christ is performed in you. Christ is made more acceptable in you. He's more visible in you. All these things, God works together for good. The things that are hard, the things that are challenging, the things that seem to work out well, the things that don't seem to work out well, Christ is performed in you. That in all our ways we acknowledge Him. That no matter what happens, Christ is performed in you. Christ is made manifest in you. And so this knowing God's will, that God does work all things together for good, and that working all things together for good are to those who loved Him, because we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8, 32, 33. This is what God's plan is. He's marked out paharizo. He's predestined. He's marked out the horizons. This is where He's going. This is where He's taking His bride. So the more we can wrap our minds around that, wrap our faith around that, the more simple and focused our life will be. The more incongruent, It will not be so incongruent. Won't see that static on the radio, that inconsistency of jumping between my will and God's will and God's will and my will and the world's will and the confusion that comes from that. No, single focus, Christ. Being conformed to His image. Living out His life. The good works that He's prepared in advance that we should walk in Him. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So you brothers here, you who are in Christ, you are created for good works. You're created for the purpose of God. You are made just how God wanted you, with your gifts and abilities, including your gender. He made them male or female. He's given you responsibility, gifts. You are created for good works. You are made for this, for the good works that God has done. And He has prepared these works, as Scripture says in Ephesians 2:10, which God prepared beforehand. So God has already predestinated. He's already determined these good works that should stand. We just have to, that we should walk in them. So life is not about figuring out how it all works together. It's about figuring out what God has said and being faithful to God and walking out His will in your life. Then from that perspective, you walk out His will in every area of life. But the focus is, what has God already said about life? The interpretation, as Titus begins, this preaching that was committed to me, Paul said, about this eternal life. So this is the great benefit of having the Word of God. We have what God has already decided would be. The counsel of the Lord stands for every generation. We don't have to recreate the wheel. We're not supposed to try to recreate the wheel every generation and try to figure out a new way of doing everything. That's the world we live in. We're going to have a new way of doing everything away from God's way. No, we're going to go back to the old paths and walk in the old paths and sink our hearts and minds and our very lives in Christ, so that we can know what He has called us to do. What is His will for your life? That you could walk out the good works that God has declared you to walk in. You could start in Titus chapter 2. That's a good place to start. You can see that he already lists some very important aspects. The older men, to be sober, reverent, sound in faith, love and patience. Mark did a good job preaching through that. For the older men, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Older women are teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We live in a day where God's word is blasphemed because of the great apostasy even within the church. That women are not very interested in this. Feminism has eroded these values in the family. To be a worker at home, why would I want to do that when I could go out and be like a man? And then that moves to, well, maybe I'm not even a woman. Maybe I could be a trans something or other, right? And just the massive confusion. These are the good works that the church is called to do. To iron out this doctrine of the gospel produces great benefit for the church and for the family. Now, Paul said, hey, speak with all authority. Let no one despise you. These doctrines are despised in our day. But let no one despise you. These are the things that we hold cling. These are the things we cling to. These are the good works we focus on, that men would be men of character and integrity. Women would be women of character and integrity, not ashamed of the gospel, meaning working in their homes to do the work that God has called them to do. Older women teaching the younger women this. The young men sober-minded. So you can just start in the book of Titus, and there's a lot right there. Good works that God's called you to do. Let alone if you want to get to the ethical backbone of the Bible, the Ten Commandments. I mean, just stay on the Ten Commandments. What are the good works God's called me to do? Worship God alone, right? There's no other gods. Worship God according to His Word, not idols. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. His character, His glory, His beauty. Affirm the greatness of God. Affirm the Word of God. Affirm the worship of God. Affirm His sovereignty over time. He's created a pattern. 6 days you shall labor. There's a six and a one pattern to the 7 days. And that speaks great of salvation. Christ is our Sabbath rest. We enter in by faith, and then we filter all of our life through Him, through His pattern. So there's a period of rest. There's a period of working very hard. There's honor for authority, the fifth commandment. honor father and mother, and that's for everybody. We're to honor our parents. We're to honor the authority that God has established. We're not to be rebels. We're to value life, the sanctity of human life. We're to love one another, not hate one another, as we were called, hateful and hating one another. But now we're born again, so we love people. We don't hate people. We don't slander people. We want to give to people, not take away from them. We want to be holy, sexual purity, not adultery, not having a hint of sexual immorality among us. We want to serve God and love Him in the way in which we are created as men and women with all integrity and purity of heart, mind, and soul. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We want to make sure we are not stealing. We want to be working hard with our hands, not coveting, not stealing, and not lying, not giving false testimony. So you want to start with maintaining good works. Let's start by the Ten Commandments, the ethical backbone of the Bible, the moral law, runs through all of Scripture. And the Bible says, Paul says, this is love. So you want to talk about love God and love one another. Scripture breaks out into all these different examples. We have so much given to us in the Word of God. So as we take these commandments, we take it to a lost and dying world that is in rebellion against God's moral law. And we have an answer. We have a law that accurately defines the standard, and we have a gospel that will save people from their sins. So we have this evangelistic call to go into all the world to preach the gospel and to make disciples. And so as we go about our days, we want to be about evangelism. We want to be about reaching out to the lost. We want to be about preaching the gospel that Christ Jesus died for your sin, that He rose again from the dead. Unless you repent and believe in Him, you'll perish. So these good works that God has called us to do, that has been very clearly revealed to us in Scripture, we want to focus on these. We want to maintain these. We want to maintain that discipleship focus within our family structure, and God, pray that God would bless that, and also to all people in the church, bringing them in, showing them Christ, teaching them the good things to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a learner of Jesus Christ, to be a lover of God's people. So those who believe in God should be careful to make the connection to maintaining good works, because the Lord who did all this work for you, all this salvation for you, it's the most supernatural thing now to follow Him into obeying Him in all areas of your life, keeping the main thing the main thing. Get the ball across the goal line, right? Score the touchdown. That is to worship God, to obey God, and to walk with Him in what He's called you to do. So we have to know God's will. We have to do God's will. Titus 3:8 says, these things are excellent and profitable for people. So we want to learn of these good things because these are excellent and profitable. And what happens? We need that encouragement, that Titus 3:8, because what happens is sometimes when we do these good works, yeah, sometimes people aren't that impressed with them, right? So I want to tell you, God is impressed with good works, okay? He's very impressed with you when you do good, impressed with you in that He delights in these good works. These are the good works that He has called you to do. So as you follow Christ, as you're on the grace way, avoiding the two pits, the two ditches, God delights in the good works that He's called you to do, because these are profitable for people. They're good for people, even though the people may not recognize it right in that moment. Like when you train your son. Your son might not recognize that this is good for him right in that moment. But when he's trained by you, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. So we do have to take that long-term perspective. We have to live for God, not in this world. As we stand in the gap, remember, we stand in the gap before God. We can't look at the people. We can't look at the swirling dust and the swirling opinion polls. We have to stand in the gap and fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on God. And know that these things are profitable. And some people will say, hey man, that was really profitable. Thank you for that. I really appreciate you. And some people say, you know what? I really don't like that at all. Okay, right? The point is, hey, I'm going to maintain good works. Why? Because I'm born again. I'm so saved, I can't keep it in. I'm so filled with the Holy Spirit, it's going to come out. I've been shown such grace and such goodness that I have to share that goodness. Shake down, shaken together, running over, it's going to spill out. And that's what happens when you know God's will. You're going to do God's will. Therefore, as Paul said in Ephesians 5:14, wake up, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. When you have that light, what are you going to do? Go back into darkness? Well, sometimes we do, and we confess that. But when Christ gives you the light, you're going to walk in that light, right? Last night, when it was pitch dark, only a couple stars out, you guys had some flashlights. You didn't put the flashlight shine your way and then go walk in the darkness. That wouldn't be very smart, right? You get that light and you walk in the light. That's why you got a flashlight to illumine your path. We have God's Word. We have this salvation. We have the Holy Spirit. Walk in the light. Wake up, you who sleep. Rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now look at Ephesians 4:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So we want to know God's will. We want to do God's will. And we do God's will in that we want to redeem the time because the days truly are evil. So if you're going to maintain good works, you're going to have to be a time redeemer. You're going to have to redeem the time because the days are evil. So to buy back that time, because from the way the devil is using that time, the way the world is using that time, they're not redeeming it. They're using it for their own selfish purposes. We live in a world that naturally just gravitates to foolishness and folly and selfish purposes in the use of time, in the use of life. Time is the measure of life. So that's what they're doing with their time. So we, who are born again, wake up. We have this light. We're going to maintain good works. We're going to redeem the time back out of the evil days and use it for good. And the way we do that, verse 17, Ephesians 5:17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we redeem the time by doing God's will, by understanding what the will of the Lord is. So a simple thing that I constantly run through my mind in maintaining good works is 3 points. Know God's will, do God's will, and then reflect upon God's will. So knowing God's will, just covered that in the Word of God, salvation. Doing God's will is that walk out by faith because God's created me for this. He's created you for this. And then I want you to take a pause. If you're going to maintain good works because of your faith in God, you're going to have to reflect upon God's will. And by reflect upon God's will, this is what I mean. After you have done the will of the Lord, it's very important to reflect upon that. For example, let's say God calls you to do a task. What would that task be? Let's pick a task that's like, let's say God's calling you to go love a person. Could be your wife, could be a sibling, could be a neighbor. And you go and you love that person in a tangible way. After you've done that task, it's very important to reflect upon that and give thanks to God that He used you to do His will. That builds up your faith. That affirms your faith. It affirms your spirit. And it helps connect you in a worshipful response to God. This is critical. Because I know how you guys are. You have a lot going on. And you have a lot of things that you kind of see are God's will for your life. You have this going on. You have that going on. You have this and here, right? And so as you kind of go through your day, you kind of make decisions. But if you're like me, you never get it all done. And then you want, well, did I do God's will? And then sometimes I know I'll feel bad that here's 3 good choices. And I believe all these choices are good choices. They're good works. All 3 of these choices before me are good works that I have to do this next hour. But I can only do one because I'm only one person. So I make a choice to do the one, and if I'm not careful, I'll feel guilty because I didn't do the other two. Right?
Yeah.
So this reflect upon God's will is, by God's grace, to the best of your ability, you know God's will, and you do God's will, and then you reflect upon that. Lord, this was your will. Based on the information of your word, based on the circumstances before me, I think the best thing to do at this point would have been what I did. Thank you, God, for using me to do your will. And you start affirming God's will like that in your life, it will help you tremendously to maintain good works because it sets your heart on things above and it gives an affirmation of God working in your life. And then that also helps you to go back to point one, to know God's will. Okay, now I have five other things I need to discern. Hey, Eric, good to see you, brother. I have five other things that I have to know. What is God's will for me in that area? So when I get up in the morning, I work through the Ten Commandments. I hit some of the things that I know I'm going to need. I say, Lord, I lay my day out before God. I said, Lord, I don't know what this day is going to be like. Here's what I'd like to do. Lord, what is your will for me? I have my calendar. I have four watches and a phone. I recently went to the analog watch because I think it helps me look forward to time better. So I read time management books. I'm still convicted of being late. So, I mean, this is a subject I deal with greatly in my life. I have four watches because in case I lose one, I have three other ones. And I'm still not as on time as Mark Hubler. But I'm saying that to say is, I'm thinking about this. I want to redeem the time because I know the days are evil. And I want to give this time to know God's will, to do God's will. So as I'm reflecting upon these commandments, right, there's always tests coming. I'm trying to launch a sexual purity course and movement. So I'm really praying hard about that, right, which means, and I mentioned this last year, still working on it, but you know, God's doing a lot of work in me behind the scenes, putting me through different situations, different trials, and for the most part, by God's grace, I've been passing those tests. You know, there's tests there. There's sexual purity tests. There's a lot of pressure to go after these things when you're dealing with people and you're dealing with trials and difficulties. So I know it's coming. I know we're in the battle. I know we're in a fight. I know people are going to say things. They're going to be really nice about me, and people are going to say things. They're not going to be so nice about me, and that's just going to happen, right? So it's going to. We're in the fight. It's going to battle, and the devil's going to try to get that. And every day, prepare for the battle. You have to know God's will. You have to do God's will. And you have to reflect. So from the time you get up, man, you're seeking the Lord. From the time you go through, as you go through the day then, think about if you know God's will. So you know, it's a lot easier when you have a big block of time, like go to work. It's God's will that I go to work. Bam, there's a block. It's kind of already established, right? You have to have a good attitude. You go to work. So it's kind of like a one thing. Guys like to do that one thing. It's a one big thing. Now, there may be a lot of intricacies to that day that you need God's will for, right? But in terms of the choice, what am I going to do next? That's what I'm going to do. So now it's like, okay, in my work, I need to have these intricate, right, to go through it. But now what about now that day is done? Now what? Bam! Now it's the rest of life. So this process of maintaining good works, that you know God's will, that you do God's will, and then that reflection. So I would suggest, when I was a bricklayer, you know, I after my day was done laying block, I would stop. I'd pull over and I'd stop for about 10 minutes. I'd just pray, because I had to refresh my brain on the rest of life. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna lose our tent. You got to reflect upon the rest of life. So what if you stop and pray about these things? How would that help you? We're all distracted. I'll wait to see if the tent goes away. We just take it down.
Sorry to ask that question again. I want to ponder while we watch.
About taking those mental breaks, that 5 minutes, that 10 minutes, that 3 minutes, when you transition from one job to the next, to reflect upon God's will.
The next job.
Right.
The upcoming.
Right. For time management, that's absolutely critical. Uh-huh. So that you plan then, you're planning what you're doing throughout your day, in the morning when you wake up, and then throughout the day, you're planning to do God's will. And then when you do God's will, you affirm God's will, and that will really encourage you to stay focused on God's will. There's only one exception to that, and that's when you don't do God's will, right? And when you don't do God's will, that could be something of a distraction, or it could be sin. Sin is clear, right? I sinned.
Right.
Lord, confess, and you know what to do there. You confess your sin. Don't just sweep it under the rug. Confess the sin. Bring it to the light so you can do God's will. But sometimes you may not know what God's will is. And I'll get like that. I don't know God's will for sure in a certain circumstance. But time is coming and I have to make a decision. And I'm not sure. So you know what I do then? I default back to what I know is God's will.
Yeah.
And I know it's God's will that I rejoice in all circumstances, right? Because what happens is, when I'm not sure what God's will is in these five choices and I have to make one and here comes time and I'm not ready for it, but it's upon me, I just default back and say, well, I don't know, God, but I'm going to have a good attitude. Because if I don't default to what I know to be God's will, I'm tempted to default to just be frustrated because I can't figure it all out.
Maintain joy.
Right. So now I've compromised a much more clear principle that is very clear in God's will. Rejoice in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Right? That I'm responding at the baseline. My responses are of God. Because we're not in control of our day. I don't know what's going to happen. And some things just pile up and it's like, oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming. Okay? So I'm already preparing for that. I know what God's will is when that happens. It's to have an attitude of thankfulness and prayer to God. So Lord, I'm praying. I'm seeking the Lord. I need wisdom. Help my responses. So Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence. One way you do that is you look at your feet. You watch your feet. You take a close heed to yourself. And that's how you maintain good works, even when the works that you're called to do may not completely make sense in terms of what you're doing, right? It's like a prayer advance is great because it's like, it's all set. We know, man, we're going to go pray. We're going to go out and pray, right? Hey, we know that was God's will. But sometimes life is just, it's just more messy. Life is just involves a lot of people. And, you know, the stuff just stacks up. It just stacks up. So maintaining an attitude of gratitude, of prayer, of seeking the Lord, so that you're in that constant filtering of knowing God's will, doing God's will, and then reflecting upon God's will, so that even as things take you by surprise, you have a way to default and to cling to the foundational truths of Scripture. And if you're meditating on them and seeking the Lord, God will walk through that, and you'll say, wow, Lord, thank you for the grace you just gave me to go through that very difficult situation. And now, I reflect upon God's will. And yeah, I didn't see that coming. Maybe I should have did this and this. But Lord, thank you that I didn't blow it. Thank you that I didn't get angry, go to frustration, go to some kind of sinful pattern that's been in my life. But I walk through that and say, you know what? I could have made some different choices that might have been better in the time management issue. I don't know. But I didn't blow it. See what I mean? So that's really that maintaining good works, maintaining your character, maintaining your testimony before God. That's always the most important. That's always in play. That's never not in play. Even till death, right? That's like foundation. So we live on these basics. We live on, as Franklin Covey says, the big rocks, right? The big rocks. You familiar with the analogy? If I had a big container here and I had six big rocks and you put the big rocks in, they all fit. And then you put the little rocks in. And everything goes in that day. But if you get all the little things and you put the little rocks in first and then you put the big rocks in, what happens? You get one rock, two rocks, and they don't fit. That's priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. So your heart with Christ, your relationship with Him, staying connected to God. You who believe in God, maintain good works. Here comes life. Wham! Right? Big rocks. Stay connected to God. Stay in prayer. Stay meditating on His Word. Stay putting Christ first. Remember the gospel of God's grace. Remember the good works that He's called you to do and stay immovable in that work. Then, as all the other stuff swirls around you, you make choices and you can make decisions, and God actually will work that out. So, this is something we have to learn to do as we walk with God. As we do this, we have to then, let's go to Titus 3:9, we have to avoid foolish time wasters. The days are evil. There will be those who will want to just take time away from you. Titus 3:9, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. So we don't want to be sidetracked into foolish disputes. And I would add foolish disputes, genealogies, all these different things that are unprofitable. We want to avoid them in person, and we also want to avoid them online, right? We want to avoid wasting our time with foolish debates, foolish things that don't account for anything, in person, in our real relationships with people, and all the debates that go on the internet. You know, I got that YouTube feed, and they personalize it to me, and I see all these debates that's happening within Christianity because of stuff I will watch on YouTube, right? And I find them interesting at some level, but I think to myself, you know what? That's not my debate. That's not where I'm going. That's not what God's called me to do. So to me, it's a waste of time. Even though, yeah, I might be interested in what so-and-so says about this and this, and it does involve some biblical principles, so, you know, I'm interested in how the Bible's walking out in the church. So there's a piece of that. But, you know, we live in a day where I got 25 of them all right there, all vying for my attention. That is a time waster. That's going to keep me from the big rocks, the main priorities that God has called me to do in my life to seek first the kingdom. So we have to be very aware of how big tech is coming in and wanting to take our attention away from to what they want us to look at. And they personalize it for us.
Sure.
So we have to be aware of a big God who can drive our attention to the things of God so that we are very careful to maintain the good works that God has for us. Now, this is unique for our generation. No one else in the history of the world has had the faces like we do. We do. You guys in the second generation have been birthed into this culture. We, old guys like me that are now 50.
Youngster.
I remember a day before the internet. I remember a day before email. Okay? So we grew through that. And as a pastor, I have responsibility. We have responsibility to try to manage that. That's why I just launched the Heritage Baptist social media HBC community last week to try to get people's attention to use technology for good and keep people's attention on God and on the community and use technology to reach out and to inreach by speaking the truth in love. It can be used for that in a good purpose, right? Not to take our minds away from and outside of things that may be evil. That's easy, right? That's easy. Evil, in terms of this discussion, it's evil. It's a waste of time. But what about those things that are interesting to us, but they're not really what you would choose to put in your day because they're not that relevant to your call in life, right? So we have a lot to discern. So when we leave here, what I love coming about here in the desert is it just helps us focus, doesn't it? Right? Where's Jimmy? I talk. We can all amen that, right? We all love that. It helps us to focus. I love this time. So remember this time. So as you go back, you take time away and pray. You get out to the desert and pray. But as you go through now, as we enter back into society, we have to redeem the time because the days are evil. We have to avoid foolish disputes. We have to avoid foolish men. Man, reject the divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. They're self-condemned, so they'll condemn you, right? They're self-condemned. So avoid, reject a divisive man. So you rebuke him once, he's just being divisive. Rebuke him again. You know what? He's really not interested in learning.
Right.
He's really not interested in growing. He's self-condemned. So avoid foolish debates, avoid foolish men, and emphasize loving one another. Now here in Titus 3, 12 to 13, we have a snapshot. So Paul gives us a snapshot of his life in that moment in time, which I think is very relevant. It goes along with my theme of developing this time management, maintaining good works. We all have snapshots in our life, and that's what's very important to you in that time. We need to manage that snapshot well, where God has us. Look what Paul's is. When I sent Artemas to you, Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. So he gives them a little personal information about where he's at, right? And we do that all the time. So that's how you love one another. You love the people in your life that God has called you to love. And as we do that, we advance the kingdom, and we build up the body of Christ. So avoid foolish time wasters, debates, foolish men, and give yourself to loving one another in the snapshots that God has given you. Now, I know on Facebook, I hear you can look at everybody else's snapshots. I'm telling you, it's a time waster. It is a time waster. It's not what we need to be doing, right? We need to be involved in the people's snapshots that we're in, that we actually know, or that we can actually have an effect, or actually have a community or a loving relationship with, right? That's what we want to be investing in. We can't have that with the whole world. It's overwhelming. Okay, so we want to use time wisely, maintain good works. Paul circles back onto it again, verse 14. And here he gives us a very important word. Titus 3:14. Let our people also, what does it say? Learn. So he starts out this section by saying, you who believe, maintain good works. So he makes the connection between the gospel producing good works. Now he's saying, let our people learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So that's what we've been talking about here. We're focusing on learning to maintain good works. That's redeeming the time because the days are evil. And here, he has two things. Learn to maintain good works and to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So that meeting of urgent needs. So here we're maintaining good works. We're knowing God's will. We're doing God's will. We're reflecting upon God's will. We're affirming, thank you, Lord, for having me do that. You know, before I left, I wrote my wife a love letter. And I'm like, I know that's God's will, but I want to get to the prayer advance. And I took a moment and I did that. And I laid it on her pillow. And she was so excited. She got it. Nice. So happy I did that. Right? So I'm like, okay, that was a good thing to do. But in the moment, I feel like I'm running behind. I need to get there. So it's learning the things like that to affirm good works. To remove the distractions. To set your day up with a focus on Christ. Now with that, there's this other monkey wrench that you have to be flexible enough. So again, you want to be firm in the big rocks, right? I've got to wake up and seek the Lord. Man, I got to seek the Lord, right? And I got to seek the Lord throughout the day. I got to reflect upon God's grace before I go tonight. I have to have those times. Otherwise, you just lose perspective. But in that, if we're not careful, we can try to just manage everything, right? And so Paul says to maintain or to meet urgent needs. Urgent needs are those needs that you don't plan for. Urgent needs are those things that just kind of break in. So here he's saying we need to learn to maintain good works. And that's the plan that God has for you and the plan that you have to filter through your life to make wise choices, which is very important. You are responsible. But it's also being flexible enough to say, okay, this is something that I need to give my attention to. Again, we're talking about attention. Attention is critical in our day. It's always critical. So if you're walking by the road and you see a wounded person, and it's a wounded person that may look like a Samaritan, right? Or a Samaritan's walking by the road. Flip the analogy. The Samaritan's walking by the road, and he's busy. He's on his way. He has some business to do. He just saw two other people go in front of him, and they should have cared for him. But they didn't. And he has a lot going on. What does a Samaritan do? He sees a guy that's all beat up. He stops and helps him. Okay? The good Samaritan. That's an example of maintaining good works and being flexible enough to meet urgent needs. Because at that moment, now there's a divine appointment. What are you going to do with this divine appointment? God puts that right in your crossroads. But I had five other things I was going to do, Lord. Okay, but God says, I'm bringing this right to you. Here's the poor. Here's the blind. Here's the naked. What are they going to do? What are you going to do with that? You're just going to walk on, right? It's like when you guys did that surprise birthday party. I had all these things in my mind, middle of an elders meeting with Mark, and then a surprise in my mind goes, doo, 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 doo. I was like, okay, what's going on here? I had to think about that a moment. Were you surprised, Jason? I just had to process that. That was a lot. It's 100 and all these people in my backyard that I wasn't anticipating. The Good Samaritan. Be like him. Don't be like the rich young ruler. You know, the rich young ruler, he had a lot on his mind too, didn't he? He's managing this. He's doing good. He's thinking about God's law. And he's thinking about the commandments. And here, the Son of God shows up in front of him. And he did not have the faith, the wisdom, the humility or the flexibility to drop all that he had and follow Jesus? How about the widow? She gave all that she had. She put all the offering. All of it. God calls us to put all of it in. Meet urgent needs. It's convicting. There's times when God says, you know, now's the moment. You go all in right now. All in. Meet this need. This is the need that I set before you. All in. Like the widow. Not like the Pharisees who, you know, they were raking it in from all these other sources. And yeah, they had a lot of money. Hey, look at me putting money in the plate, right? Showboating. You never know when Goliath is going to show up. David's just taking care of the sheep. You know, much of life is like kind of, it can be a little monotonous, right? Taking care of sheep. Hey, can you go take these cheeses to your brothers? Okay. Right? Not a big deal. All of a sudden, he walks in and here's a giant. Rawr! What's that giant doing here? What's that uncircumcised Philistine doing here? And he's blaspheming. He's speaking against the armies of the living God. And everybody's afraid. I'll go take him out. David wasn't looking for that, was he? But when the situation presented itself, he didn't back down either, did he? There's an urgent need there. Someone needs to take the head off that giant. Someone needs to stand in the gap. And you never know when those opportunities are going to happen. So along with your maintaining good works, in the back of your mind, you need to be prepared. Lord, I'm also ready to meet some urgent needs. Today there could be a Philistine that needs his head lopped off. Or there could be a hurt person in a bush that I might need to stop. Or there may be someone who just needs a word of encouragement. That's how you go into church, by the way, every Lord's Day, right? You never know what's going to happen in every Lord's Day. And you get all those people together and you don't know. It could just be a maintaining thing, or it could be a, wow, look at this. And then this happens. And then here so-and-so comes up. Or it could be just, you just go through and you clean up afterwards and you go home. The point is this. You have to learn to be profitable in the exercise of your gifts before God. You have to know God's will and do God's will and constantly be reflecting and constantly be praying. Prayer is what makes us sensitive to God's will. Prayer is what gives us that awareness of the presence of God. We know God is here. We pray that we have that awareness of His presence, that we are in tune with Him. And that prayer, or that slowdown, is the counterbalance of the busy life. Jesus constantly took his disciples, hey, come out and let's go a while and pray. And then he took his disciples in and they ministered a ton. They had all these situations and people and stuff going on. But then he got away and he prayed. And man, that's what you need. You need to come to a prayer event once a year and have a great experience, right? It's awesome. But then as you go back now, you need to have that time. As you maintain good works, one of these rocks has to be, I must slow down and be still before God so that I can hear God's voice ministering to my heart, the Word of God. You must have time to slow down. And you need that every day at some level. And you need it once a week with a little more. And you need to have those periodic times that are not that far apart where you're taking a larger chunk of time and just being alone with God. Well, if you don't have time for that, you're not going to be able to maintain good works. You're not going to be able to keep your faith focused on God because God's not going to be able to direct you, and you're going to miss the opportunities to do the urgent needs and the big works that God's called you to do. You'll just go right by them. You just walk by the person there. You'll walk by Goliath. You'll walk away from people. You'll walk away from needs. And you'll miss the calling of God in your life. Not completely, if you're saved, right? Not completely. God has mercy. But it won't be as engaging as it could be. So that's why this is so important, that we learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Jesus said, I pray now, Lord, that the fruit that you give, the seeds that are planted, would bring forth fruit that would remain. Paul says, Titus, I want you to go encourage these churches, encourage these elders. Tell the people to maintain these good works, to meet these urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. I know you brothers have a lot going on in your life. You have a lot going on your plate. But I know also that God has called you to some great things. And I see you doing them. And it's encouraging. Faithfulness. I see you growing. I see you becoming more like Jesus. I see you becoming less angry and cantankerous and sinful and more like Christ. Amen? Isn't that what it's all about? Over the years, you grow, become more like Jesus. We are in a better position now to maintain these good works. Last verse. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. That is Titus. And this is the gospel for all of life. Let's pray.